Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an X Tuesday episode. It's also part of our 12 days of the Comic Source, and I'm going to continue looking at the Age of X-Men. This time, we're looking at The Amazing Nightcrawler, number 3. It's written by Seanan McGuire. We have art by Juan Figueri. Colors are by Dono Sanchez Almara, and letters are by Travis Lanham. So we saw it was a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of issue 2. Mystique was in Nightcrawler's room. And I thought maybe she was going to reveal that she was Nightcrawler's mother. However, she actually had a different reason for showing up. So let's dive into the issue. We see Kurt immediately asking her, how'd you get past security? She's like, what? I'm not a fan. I'm your... And you assume if she gets a chance to finish that sentence, she would say mother. But instead, she changes her mind. I guess she feels like maybe Kurt's not ready or it would be too much of a risk. But she decides against it and says, never mind, I'll go. You'll learn the truth soon enough. And we do notice that she's holding a file in her hand. And she says goodbye for now and starts to leave. But, you know, Kurt's not about to let it go. So he teleports over and grabs her. And, you know, Mystique's not one to be manhandled. So she says, let me go. Kurt's thinking back to earlier in the day when Reagan showed up and Mastermind Studios and... You know, could Reagan Wingard be behind this? Could this be some sort of setup, what have you? And Mystique says, I'm warning you. And he's, you know, Nightcrawler's not having that way. You're warning me? I'm an X-Man. I own this room. I own this studio. A little full of himself. You know, Kurt can be that way sometimes. But when he says, what could I possibly have to fear from you? Apparently, what he has to fear is a knee in the groin, because that's what happens. So he goes down in a heap and Mystique starts running away, but he recovers relatively quickly. Nightcrawler teleports again, this time blocking her escape, gives her a punch. She gives him a sweep of the leg, a little bit of a fight. She distracts him by throwing a vase at him that he dodges. And by the time he turns back around, she's gone. She's disappeared. We see in the background that she's actually gone up into the air vents in the ceiling, and she's managed to make her escape. So Kurt's left to wonder who she was. How'd she get past security? He's thinking about how the Cuckoos, Irma, and Celeste are going to be furious when they found out that X Studios got invaded or infiltrated. And he goes back to his room and he finds the file she was holding laying on the ground. And he realizes, hey, this isn't mine. She wasn't trying to steal from me. What was it she wanted me to see? And when he picks up the file, he sees a little girl that looks exactly like him. Her name is Tania Jean, age 4, and she's scheduled for relocation, it says. And, you know, Kurt's pretty surprised to see this. He says, I know this girl. I've never seen her before, but I know her. She's mine. Somehow she's mine. And, you know, we know all children are made in the same facility. They're genetically unique. They don't have any family connections. So how can this girl look so much like him if she's not his daughter? And he starts thinking, when did the world stop making sense, right? Like he's an X-Man. He's used to following the rules. He's used to being loved and adored by millions when he makes his movies. And all of a sudden, he's in a clandestine romance with Megan, breaking the rules that way, the rules of intimacy, the intimacy laws. And now all of a sudden, he could have a daughter. So the next morning, he's filming some scenes and he keeps blowing his lines and missing his cues. And Amara, who's sort of I thought she was the stunt coordinator on this project they're working on. Maybe she's the director too. I'm not sure. But anyway, she's annoyed. Says, hey, this is real scenes with real people with real powers. And if you blow it, somebody's going to get hurt. So either you get it together or we're just going to stop production for the day. And Kurt's like, that's not necessary. You know, he's a pro. And he's thinking about how if he loses focus, they lose money and people could lose their lives. So he's going to do better. And so he gets the scene right, and, you know, it's a complicated scene, a lot of stunts, a lot of teleporting, a lot of faux fighting, and Amara's pretty happy with that performance and then says, great, there we go. Now do it again 6 more times just like that. So no rest for the wicked, I suppose. A little later, Kurt's taking a break, grabbing a muffin, and Megan is there next to the refreshment table, and she's apologizing about the previous night where she invited Kurt to that kind of underground bar or club where a bunch of people that were disguised, that were masked, were socializing, and clearly were in some type of intimate relationship. And she wanted Kurt to be a part of that with her, to go somewhere where they could be around other people but still show their affection. And Kurt apologizes for leaving, and Megan says, no, I know I probably pushed you, too far, too fast. And Kurt said, yeah, but I shouldn't have left. So it seems like they're on pretty good terms, but Kurt wants to go somewhere a little more private and talk. So what they do is they teleport up to the roof, and what Nightcrawler wants is for Megan to take a look at the file that was left in his room. And she's kind of surprised. You know, she probably thought that he wanted to go somewhere and talk about them, but what he wants is an opinion on what he should do, but not even an opinion on what he should do, because it seems like he has his mind made up. It's more he wants validation for what he's going to do. So he does want to make sure that this is real, because Reagan Wingard obviously has the ability to make people see things that aren't there. So if he hands Megan this paper and there's no picture on it, then he knows it's not real. But they have such a different perspective, right? Like, Kurt is so empathetic, and he wants to care about people. And he's, you know, this little girl looks so much like him. How could he not want to find out the answers and not want to meet her and find out the truth? But Megan's had a different relationship with her family. And not only that, she's had a little bit different life than Kurt. And although they were both persecuted, now Kurt is, you know, adored by millions, and Megan to a lesser extent. But she talks about how, you know, growing up in Europe, she was Romani, you know, she was a gypsy, and how she was judged all the time. And what she's worried about is if Nightcrawler goes and sees this little girl, he's going to want to have a relationship with her. He's going to want to take her and raise her and take care of her. And all of a sudden, it starts to be a family connection. And they already have two of the cuckoos there, right? They already have, you know, Irma and Celeste, and they get judged for that. And the studio gets judged for employing sisters, because again, you're not supposed to have family connections in this world of the X-Men, and the cuckoos themselves get judged. And what she's worried is that this little girl is going to be judged. And Kurt says, I don't understand. Like, what would she have to be judged for? Like, why would people judge her? I mean, it says, that's the thing about judging. It doesn't have to make sense. People are just going to form their opinions. I mean, and who's not going to look at this little girl and look at Kurt, especially if they're spending time together, and think that they're related, and think that he's flouting the law, and think that maybe he's taking advantage of his position as an X-Men to get, you know, special privileges. And so Megan says, look, I couldn't love you if I didn't think you loved me. And I know that your heart is way too big. And if you met this girl, you're going to love her. And if you love her, you're never going to let go. And Kurt's like, yeah, but I have to meet her. I know she's not my child. I know technically parents are a thing of the past, but I also know she's mine. Can you understand that? And Megan says, yeah, I can, but I don't like this. I don't think it's right, but I can't ask you to break rules in terms of, or laws even, in terms of, you know, being with me and loving me and being intimate with me, and then not ask you to break these other rules. Like, I can't do that. And, you know, Megan loves him. She wants him to be happy. And clearly this is bothering him. So she's going to support him. And again, Megan's worried about the risks. She's telling him to be careful. He says, I'm an X-Men. We're always careful. So they go to see Celeste and basically tell her that they want to find a fan, so to speak. And so she asks the names and the details. And he says, her name's Tania Jean. She's 4 years old. And I love this exchange. Celeste says, 4 years old, isn't that a little young for your movies? I'd expect her to be more interested in the Bamf Squad adventures. You know, obviously cartoon. Again, Nightcrawler in this timeline is a franchise unto himself. But anyway, Celeste says, I'd expect her to be more interested in the Bamf Squad. And without missing a beat, Kurt says, she's precocious. And Celeste turns to him and says, don't lie to a telepath. Like that, you know, it's just like bam, 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 exchange. And she goes on to tell him, and don't tell me why you want to find her. Don't think it too loudly even, but don't lie, because when you lie, it makes my brain itch. So they find out the details. She's in a particular nursery in Portland, and she's set to be transferred to a nursery in Cleveland, Ohio at the end of the week. And so Megan and Kurt go to his room, and they start talking about going to see her, grabbing some things. And Megan is still preaching caution, she says, you know, what if this is all a trick? What if Reagan Wingard is you know, playing with your mind? And he reminds her, he says, well, that's why I showed you the picture, because if you'd just seen a blank piece of paper, I'd know this was Reagan, but you saw her, she's real. And Megan says, that doesn't mean this is not a trap or a trick. And he says, I know, but I still have to go. And so they seem to have made up their minds, but I gotta think it's just too coincidental. You know, here's Reagan Wingard just the day before trying to, you know, once again, get Kurt to merge studios, to partner up. And when he says no, she's furious. And then all of a sudden, the only thing I can't figure is why Mystique would be on Wingard's side. But anyway, there's a knock at the door of Kurt's dressing room, and it's Irma. And she says, yeah, I heard you guys were going to see a fan maybe in Portland. And Kurt's like, wait, how do you know? He's like, telepath, remember? Anyway, she goes, look, I'm not going to tell on you. I know it's something that you probably shouldn't be doing, but we all owe you, you know, way too much, especially Celeste and I. You could have split us up a long time ago. So we know how to keep a secret for sure. And what if we can disguise this trip as PR instead of just you guys going to Portland to see this little girl? So the next day we see Megan and Nightcrawler and a bunch of other members of Studio X, and they're on a stage at a mall, and Amara's kind of like, really, a mall tour? This is how we fight back against Mastermind Studios? And Kurt's like, hey, we're helping our image. We're doing good things. And Amara says, I'm going to set you on fire. Let's see what that does for your image. And as they're smiling and taking pictures and Kurt's accepting flowers from a little girl, we see some other people show up off camera. We get a, what do you think you're doing? And when we turn the page and the camera pans back, it's Mastermind Studios. There's Reagan Wingard and her whole troupe. And apparently they were scheduled for an appearance there today on the same stage. So not sure how that worked out. Maybe the Cuckoos, you know, Irma and Celeste reached out to their other sister that works for Wingard. And they have some sort of plan going on. You know, you can never put anything past the Cuckoos, even in this reality when things are supposed to be, you know, a little bit better. But we don't know. I suppose we may find out in the next issue. But as you can imagine, tempers kind of flare. And Kurt says, you know, I'm sure there's a misunderstanding. We'll be done in just a few minutes. And Reagan Wingard's like, we're not here for your leftovers. That's our stage. And things escalate even further between members of Reagan's entourage and a couple of Kurt's people. And before we know it, they're leaping off the stage and we get the to be continued. So I imagine we're going to see a bit of a fight next issue, in issue 4. But I'm on Megan's side as far as it's got to be a trap. It's got to be a trap. But what does Mystique have to gain by it is the one thing that I'm not sure of. So I am enjoying this series. I think, as I said before, that Nightcrawler is the perfect X-Man to sort of play this role of the public face of the X-Men and movie star and cartoons and licensing and all that kind of crazy stuff. He's definitely a showman. And he does have a big heart, like Megan said. So everything that's happening is totally in character with who Nightcrawler was before, which is so interesting. He may be the person that's changed the least in terms of when you look at the other X-Men and Marvelous X-Men, they seem to be buying into X-Men's, you know, dream of utopia. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak. And it's not that Kurt is actively resisting, but he gave in to Megan's request to have this clandestine relationship pretty easily. And obviously he gets sucked into the idea of meeting this girl who could be his daughter, you know, very easily as well. So maybe it goes to how empathetic he is. Maybe it goes to how big a heart he is, like Megan was saying. But it's all ringing pretty true for me, even though we're in this sort of alternate timeline. And there's enough intrigue with, okay, what's Mystique's role? She looks quite a bit like Nightcrawler. How come he's not putting that together that he could be related to her? And then, you know, Reagan Wingard, she's so diabolical and dastardly and a little disgusting to be alliterative. It's just not a nice person, not a good person. So seeing her try to pull something like this, if it is in fact her, maybe it's a red herring, but it does seem to be right up her alley. And how will Nightcrawler deal with it? What's going to be the repercussions and the fallout? What's going to be Tanaya's reaction if and when Nightcrawler does meet her? And we do see on the cut, we get a sneak peek of issue 4 in the back of this one. And we see just the back of Tanaya. We see Nightcrawler meeting her with a big surprise expression on her face and Mystique in the background. So I guess we'll see. Anxiously awaiting checking out issue 4 and giving you my thoughts. So that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Thanks as always for joining us. Again, I want to wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. I hope it's a really good one for you this year. Hope everybody is safe and healthy and we'll get through this year. And, you know, if you're having to spend Christmas alone, don't forget you can reach out virtually to people. You can even reach out to me if you have nobody else to talk to. I'd be happy to do a Zoom session with a listener, you know, a quick 5-minute, 10-minute call and tell me what you love about comics and, you know, why you want to, or why you listen to the Comic Source, whatever you want, you know, whatever you want. Tell me about your story. You know, we can do it on Zoom or Google Hangouts. I think I have FaceTime on my iPad even. So any number of ways. And obviously, if you have family that you're not going to get to see this year, at least in person, you can always reach out to them digitally, virtually as well. I think we're all taking advantage of these technologies that we have, and thank God for them, right? Like I've talked to so many creators over the past couple of weeks, and we're going to drop all those creator episodes for you on Christmas as a Merry Christmas to all our listeners. And so many of them have said, you know, they haven't gotten that energy from fans by going to cons. And it's different, but at least we've been able to do some virtual conventions and they're collaborating with people, you know, digitally and virtually, and it's been at least something, at least some form of connection. So again, I want to thank you all for listening and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.